You're listening to the Hippie Haven Podcast. I'm Callie, and it's my life mission to empower you with the knowledge and tools you need to spark positive change in your community. If you're new here, I'm the owner of Bestowed Essentials and Hippie Haven. I started Bestowed Essentials just over 3 years ago, and today our handmade, eco-friendly personal care and cleaning products can be found on the shelves of over 200 stores across the U.S. and Canada. Bestowed Essentials is one of the 15 winners of the Stacey's Rise Project Class of 2020, and we are also recognized by FedEx as one of their top 100 small businesses in the U.S. for 2 years in a row. In December 2019, my team and I opened Hippie Haven, a zero-waste store and community space in Rapid City, South Dakota. Of course, I also host this Hippie Haven podcast, and we release new episodes every Wednesday, which you can get instantly downloaded to your phone for easy listening by subscribing to the Hippie Haven podcast on any of the major podcasting apps. You can find the show notes and transcript for every episode on hippiehavenpodcast.com. You can also learn more about me on our website. You can follow along on Instagram at hippiehavenshop or subscribe to our YouTube channel to see more behind the scenes at both of our Earth Conscious companies. This episode is made possible by Ritual, a vegan vitamin company made by skeptics for skeptics. They are obsessed with science and transparency, and you can see on their website exactly what ingredients are in their vitamins, why they chose them, what city they came from, and how much is included. They have daily multivitamins for menstruators, for postmenopause, and for prenatal. Order your first bottle with free shipping by visiting hippiehavenpodcast.com/ritual. My guest today is Carissa Hawk. Born and raised in Spearfish, South Dakota, she started brewing kombucha as a fun hobby during college. During her senior year, Carissa suffered a serious knee injury, which shattered her plans to start a career and move abroad. But her limited mobility meant more time for experimenting with kombucha brewing. Soon, her friends and families were raving about the flavors she created. So in 2018, she founded SCOBY Kombucha, Spearfish's first kombuchery, with her roommate and good friend, Bianca Hutzler. Today, Carissa and I are talking about what kombucha is, why it's good for your gut health, and how to make it. So let's get started. What was your first introduction to kombucha?
Well, let's see. It's actually way back. My brother-in-law had brought this weird bottle, and I was a little kid at the time. And he's like, this is kombucha. You should try it. And I did. And I'm like, bleh, this stuff is nasty. And I never tried it again until much later when I was in high school and my sister was making kombucha at her home. And then she shared it with me, and I actually had, like, I grew fond of it over time. I guess my palate matured. And so way back when I was a kid is when I first tried it. And then when I really liked it was in high school.
So what is kombucha exactly?
Pretty simply, kombucha is a fermented tea, and it's basically three ingredients, your tea, sugar, and then your SCOBY. SCOBY is, it stands for Symbiotic Culture of Bacteria and Yeast, so they shortened it to S-C-O-B-Y, and sometimes they're called mothers. We call them mothers because they grow kind of like sourdough, and you can pass it on to other people. It looks kind of like a mushroom cap, I suppose, sitting on top of your sweetened tea mixture. Yeah, it looks like a mushroom, white cap, and then it'll grow these layers. And as it grows, you can peel these layers apart and give it to someone else, or you can keep brewing more kombucha with it. There's so many things you can do with extra SCOBYs, make them into dog treats or feed them to other pets. I feed them to our chickens here, and it's really good compost too. You can look up whole guides of what to do with your extra SCOBYs.
So you went from thinking that kombucha was kind of gross as a kid to now actually owning a successful kombucha company. Tell me about that journey and how you started SCOBY Kombucha.
Well, it kind of started with my sister when she let me try some of hers, and then she had an extra SCOBY and gave it to me, showed me how to make it. So I was making it at home for several years just for fun and trying out different flavor combinations with different fruit and herbs and sharing it with my friends and my family. And they all are like, wow, this is amazing. I love it. And some of my friends are like, I would pay money to drink this kombucha. And I was like, oh, that's really nice. Never really thinking anything of it. And then when I became roommates with my co-founder, Bianca Hutzler, I was still making kombucha and she got to enjoy it as well. And then we were both students at Black Hills State University. And shortly before my graduation in 2018, I had a sports injury and had to get surgery on my knee. And that kind of threw all of my post-graduation plans out the window, which was really soul-crushing at the time. And I was really sad and mopey. And Bianca was trying to comfort me throughout this whole time. And I was just miserable and brewing lots of kombucha because I couldn't do a whole lot else. And so after a while, and I'd graduated, still injured, couldn't really go anywhere like I'd planned. Bianca's like, hey, why don't you start a kombucha business? And the timing was just right because I didn't have anything else to do. So I was like, sure, yeah, I'll try this kombucha business thing because I graduated with a business degree and like I can put this to use here. And started fleshing out a business plan that summer. And then that fall, Bianca started a business class at Black Hills State University where you have to create a business, air quotes here, and go through the whole process of starting a business. And she offered to pitch my business plan to the class, and enough students liked it that they created a team, and I was like an honorary member. And we did this whole start to finish, did a Shark Tank type deal where we got a little bit of startup funding and then took that class project into becoming SCOBY Kombucha and what it is today.
Tell me more about what it is today. How have you grown it over these last few years?
Oh boy, so we started like, wow, we've really come pretty far since the school days. We started just here in Spearfish locally at a couple coffee shops and then really the started spreading the word a lot more and people were drinking it and sharing their thoughts and everything. And we were at a bunch of fun events like the Dakota 5-0 and people were like, we love it. We want your kombucha. And then we started opening up at or serving our kombucha at different stores in Rapid City and then all over Spearfish. And then we were in Deadwood and Sturgis. And most recently, what we're really excited about is we made it to the east side of the state and are now in Brookings. So we've kind of crossed, like covered all of South Dakota. And in the future, we're looking to go even further than that. So yeah, it's been a lot of fun and quite the journey.
How much are you guys currently brewing? First of all, how long does it take to brew a batch of kombucha?
For us, it takes about 17 days, give or take, because it takes a couple weeks just to get the kombucha at that good spot of when we introduce the flavors. And then it takes a few days for those to infuse into the kombucha. So, yeah, about 17, 18 days. And then we are making currently about 400 to 500 gallons of kombucha a month, which is pretty impressive because our facility is really small and we're outgrowing it. So we're like packing jars in wherever we can just to meet all the demand, which is really exciting for us.
How many different flavors do you have, and how do you go about choosing new flavors?
I do a lot of experimenting at home still. I have my little home brew that I keep here and like to nurture. And whenever I have an idea, I'll be like, you know what sounds really good is watermelon. What can I do with watermelon? And I'll go buy some and then I'll play around with different combinations of fruit. And then if I want to get really into the healthy side of things with herbal infusions, I'll consult my sister who is a certified, what would you call it, certified herbologist and naturopath. So if we infuse any of our kombucha, which we do, Both our Black Hills blend and our Golden Bliss signature flavors have special herbal infusions. And I consult with her on what's the proper dosage and what's the best benefit for like immune systems or fighting your allergies or things like that. And I combine it with the different fruit flavors that I really enjoy so that it kind of like balances each other out. So it's not the super herby drink you're drinking, and it's got a nice, smooth, fruity flavor to complement it too.
How do you support sustainability within your business?
Ah, yeah, that's a great question. So we have a few things that we do. During production days, when we are brewing the kombucha, we use a lot of tea leaves. And when we're done, we'll have buckets of these tea leaves left over, and we'll bring those to our local farm stands, who we also source as much of our fruit and other herbs and ingredients from as possible. So we're completing this cycle. We give back something they can use to compost, and then we get good, yummy things back from it. And then in addition to that, we also compost our scobies, or we feed them to animals and local farms like those too. And then we also have our reusable bottle system that we incorporate as well. So we sell our branded bottles at different events or in different locations where our kombucha is sold, and then customers can do this one-time purchase of buying the bottle, and then they can come back and refill it at any of our locations, which is really fun. We really like to promote that too. And just recently we started doing bottle drives to get back our single serve bottles, and we wash and sanitize them and then reuse them for our kombucha.
What myths about kombucha do you often hear that really need to be debunked?
Oh, yeah, that it tastes gross is probably the first one. Like, I don't like it. It's disgusting. And so getting people to try it after they've had a bad experience with kombucha is the first one. Then I think the next one is, there was this big fiasco years ago when people were worried that it was alcoholic. And because it's fermented, there is, we say, a trace amount of alcohol, so less than 0.5%. And people were worried that they were going to drink kombucha anywhere off the shelves and, you know, get a little tipsy from it. And they're giving it to their kids, and they're just like really concerned. So a lot, pretty much all of the kombucha, unless it's stated otherwise, in the stores today are non-alcoholic. That's another one we hear quite a bit. Other than that, yeah, I think just the initial like, the gross, I don't know why people are so weirded out by when you tell them it's fermented tea, they get kind of weirded out by that. Even though, you know, beer is fermented yeast and wheat and grains, and wine is fermented grapes. There's all kinds of delicious fermented goodies. I'd say those are the two top myths.
How has COVID impacted your business over this last, you know, 6 months or so?
You know, it's been really weird. Initially, we're like, uh-oh, this is kind of bad because everything shut down. And since we distribute to all the different stores and don't have a storefront of our own, when they shut down, we were really worried that we were not going to make it because we weren't able to, you know, keep things brewing like we wanted to. And regardless of how much kombucha you're selling, it's going to continue to ferment. So you have to keep it going and keep making kombucha, or else it's going to get too sour. And so we were a little worried initially. And then once businesses started figuring out how to open up safely and people were figuring out how to go out in public again and be safer about it, we started seeing an uptick in our sales, and we were really happy about it. And it's honestly been the craziest summer ever. We've been busier than we've ever been before. I think people are really wanting to support local, and they're wanting to also put good things into their body and are a lot more health conscious. So I think that's contributed to some of our success lately. So a rough start initially, and now it's better than ever, which is not what we were expecting at all.
Yeah, I can definitely say the same thing for my businesses this year. It's been an interesting time for sure. How have you and your co-founder, what obstacles have you overcome as young female entrepreneurs running such a unique and often unknown business in a rural area?
Well, for one, we had to do a lot of education on what is kombucha. People around here may have heard the name kombucha, or they didn't know what it was at all. So education's been a big piece of our business model, and it's really fun to introduce people to what kombucha is and tell them all about it and talk about how good it is for you, and that's been exciting. And then sometimes it's a little tricky because when we go in to talk to businesses that we think are a good fit for our product, it can be a little, I want to say, like tricky for us because we're young and we're like, I have been in sales once in my life, and being confident in what you're selling and being able to talk to people about how you like, we could have this great collaboration going on where we sell you this, where you can sell this product and really benefit your customer base. And sometimes people are nice about it, and sometimes they're not. So you kind of get a thick skin going through this process that I'm sure you know as a business owner. It's just kind of, it takes a lot of growth and learning to not take things so personally.
It absolutely does. Yeah. And like you said, being young, and I think especially being a woman too, oftentimes people don't take you seriously if they don't understand what you're doing. And so, yeah, education is such a big part. I definitely agree with that. Now, let's talk about, I think, what our audience is going to be most interested in. How do you make kombucha from home? At home, like how do you get a SCOBY? Can you create a SCOBY from scratch? Tell me all of the steps.
Oh boy, yeah, this is such a fun topic because this is how we started. So, yeah, there's many ways you can start a home brew. You can grow a SCOBY yourself. It can be really tricky though, because you can buy a lot of, or, yeah, you can buy kombucha from the store, but what a lot of other companies do to their kombucha is they will pasteurize it and then add probiotics back into the bottle, so it might not grow another SCOBY. So what we recommend people do is actually go and buy one online, and you can get them from, if you Google buy a SCOBY on the internet, then you're definitely gonna find some SCOBYs for sale. Or I'm pretty sure I've seen them in the local health food stores here at Breadroot. I believe they sell SCOBYs, and then here there's the store Good Earth. They sell SCOBYs as well. So that would be my advice: just buy one, unless you have a friend who already has one and they're willing to give you some of theirs. That would be awesome too. And then you pretty much just need clean water. So if you have just tap water from the city, you need to leave it sitting out for a day so that all of the chlorine and chemicals evaporate out of it first, or just have a really good water filter. And then you'll need sugar and tea, and it can be black or green tea. It has to be a caffeinated tea, and you can kind of play around with the different types of tea that you like. But black tea is usually the standard. And then a clean glass vessel to put it in. We use 2 gallon jars here at SCOBY. And you can use like a quart size jar or a gallon, depending on how much you want to be drinking. And then just a clean cloth and a rubber band to cover the top because it needs to breathe in order to ferment. And that's pretty much it. You make some tea. And then you throw your SCOBY in there. And if you don't have kombucha already, just plain kombucha, you can throw just a cup or a tiny bit of white vinegar into it to get it started. And that first batch with the vinegar will taste a little weird. But then after that, you can keep using the kombucha to start your next batch. So like sourdough, you need to use a little bit of the old sourdough to start the next batch, if that makes sense. So it's pretty simple.
So let's say that we're starting with a gallon, our first gallon of kombucha. How much tea are we putting in that? How big of a SCOBY do you need? Can you get specific on the quantity of the ingredients?
Sure. Yeah. And there's lots of, you can Google, how do I make kombucha online? There's so many resources. But the standard that I started with my home brew is for loose leaf tea, you use 4 tablespoons. And you steep it like you regularly would a cup of tea. And if you want it to be really strong, like a dark, dark, earthy kind of tasting kombucha, you can steep it for up to 15 minutes, which is really nice. And you can play around with that too. And for a gallon, you'll use a cup of sugar. And it seems like a lot. You're like, whoa, a cup of sugar and a gallon of kombucha. But honestly, all of the cultures need the sugar to ferment. And most of the sugar will be gone depending on how long you let it sit there. So don't worry about that if you're like, I want to keep my sugar content low. And then you have to let the hot tea, cool to room temperature before you add any of the vinegar or the kombucha. So in total, if you want a gallon, you'll need 14 cups of the tea and then 2 cups of kombucha or white vinegar if you're just starting. And then you mix it all up in a jar. You put a SCOBY, and it doesn't matter the size of the SCOBY, honestly. It will grow, which is really cool. It will grow to fit the width of your container. And the longer you let it sit, the more sour it will become. So you can play around with, do I want a sweeter kombucha or do I want a more sour kombucha? And you can just what I do is I scoot the SCOBY aside and I'll stick a straw in there and kind of like drink it. And if it's too sweet, I'll leave it in there longer. If it's getting more sour, then I take it out and take the SCOBY out and will then flavor the kombucha if I have time. If not, then I'll just kind of let it sit there. Yeah, it's fun with the homebrew because you can make it however sweet or sour you want. You really have the power to make it your own, which is great.
How long do you let it sit? And are you keeping this at room temperature? Are you keeping it in the fridge?
Oh, yeah, that's very important. So what you're going to do is the kombucha likes the dark, and light will actually kill the bacteria and yeast cultures in your kombucha. So you don't want to sit it in a sunny window. That will be harmful. I keep mine in my cabinet because it needs to be at room temperature. And it's best between 74 and 78 degrees. I've had it ferment at a cooler temperature, but if it gets too hot, it's going to go straight to beer, not beer, but it's going to get alcoholic faster because the yeast loves the heat and will just kind of take over your culture. And then you'll get this SCOBY that's really yeasty and making your kombucha a little boozy. The most alcohol that a kombucha SCOBY can make is about 3%. So if that's what you're going for, then by all means, make it in a warmer space. And it's also going to get sour faster the hotter the temperature you brew your kombucha at. So if you're wanting kombucha every week, then you want to be at that 78 degrees. If you want it to kind of ferment slower, you want to keep it at a cooler temperature. And it'll take, for the first batch, probably 1 or 2 weeks. And then from there, depending on how sour you want it to be, you can ferment kombucha for up to a month. You just got to be really careful when it's been fermenting too long because it can become vinegar, essentially. And that can really be sour and be a little harmful to your gut if you're just drinking straight vinegar.
Is there any chance of the kombucha exploding?
Not during this initial fermentation stage. When you bottle it, there is potential, especially if you're throwing in huge amounts of fruit and putting a cap on it and you just kind of leave it and forget it. I remember, oh my gosh, one time at home when I make kombucha in a swing top bottle and I just filled it with raspberries. I'm like, yeah, I want raspberry kombucha. And then put it in the fridge after I let it sit out for a few days, just absorbing flavor. And then Bianca and I are like, let's drink that kombucha, but it's really great. And we take it out and she opens it up over the sink because sometimes it overflows no matter what you do. And it just shoots into the air. It's spraying all over the walls and the ceiling. And we're just like, oh no, what do I do? And she couldn't get the cap back on. So it was just like over half this bottle was covering our apartment walls and ceiling. So not during fermentation, but if you cap it with a bunch of fruit, yes, it can be a little explosive when you open it. The only other times I've heard of kombucha exploding, I've never experienced a bottle exploding myself, like actually breaking and exploding. The only times I've heard that happening to other people is if they put it in a plastic bottle, which I don't recommend anyway.
Why don't you recommend plastic?
Plastic is, it just, with how acidic kombucha is, it will leach some of the chemically plastic, yeah, the chemicals from the plastic into the kombucha over time. And it's also harmful to the cultures as well. Plastic just isn't very good for it. It's not good. You don't want to mess with it. Glass is the best container. And then after that would be stainless steel. But even when you get into metal, if you don't have a high food grade steel, it can also leach some of the metals into your kombucha.
What is it about infusing fruit in the kombucha that can cause it to explode like that?
It's the extra sugar. So the natural sugars present in the fruits are still helping that fermentation process. Because even if you take the SCOBY out at the end of fermentation, there's enough bacteria and yeast present to continue the process even after it's removed. So when you add more fruit, you're feeding these cultures and they're like, yay, happy day. And they're making, you know, CO2 as a byproduct. And that's all the little bubbles in there. And then if you put a lot in there, you've just gave it a lot of food and a lot to make extra CO2. And if there's nowhere for the pressure to go but up, it's going to, you know, first pop the cap off, and then if the cap's really strong, then it'll probably break the bottle.
What final words of wisdom do you have for people who want to homebrew kombucha?
I would say you just gotta love on it because it takes dedication. If you let it go too long, it'll be straight vinegar and you probably won't want to drink it. You can make fun things like salad dressing, but if you've got a gallon of that, that's a lot of salad dressing. But yeah, like any living thing, you're going to want to nurture it and keep it going. And yeah, just have fun with it and try all kinds of fun fruits and herbs and things and make it your own. And then a fun tip, if you do ever want to be like on a break and you're like, oh man, I'm tired of making my own kombucha, it's a lot to keep up with, you can take it and put it in the fridge and just kind of let it chill out and it'll be good there for several months without you having to feed it or anything like that.
And what advice do you have for anybody else who's interested in starting either their own kombucha business or just any type of beverage business?
My advice would be, oh boy, I didn't know this going into it, neither did my partner, but the food and beverage industry, particularly the beverage industry, is one of the hardest to get into, which makes sense because there's a lot of moving parts. But I would say, really focus on your why. Why do you want to go into the beverage industry? Is it because you want to, like for SCOBY kombucha, bring more health and wellness to the people by giving them this wonderful healthy drink? Or is it because you want to try and create something new for yourself and have this fun business challenge? And there's all sorts of reasons of why you'd want to start a business, and I would just keep, you know, reminding yourself of that why to continue motivating you through all the ups and downs of, you know, starting your own business, as I'm sure you know.
Does SCOBY sell across the country? Like, do you have an online direct-to-consumer website, or is SCOBY kombucha only available here in South Dakota?
SCOBY is currently only available here in South Dakota, but we are planning to one day be a nationwide brand. And we do offer our kombucha on sale or online for sale. And that's just here in the local area. And we're continuing to grow our distribution network and hopefully reach other states nearby and then one day the whole country.
So how can our listeners who are located outside of South Dakota, how can they still support your work that you're doing?
Well, spreading the word, honestly, by liking us on social media, that's at scobikombucha.com, S-C-O-B-I, and then kombucha, K-O-M-B-U-C-H-A. That's our Instagram and our Facebook. If you throw us a like and, you know, share how much you love kombucha or something with us, that speaks a lot to us. And then if you know of places too where you're like, I think kombucha would be a really great fit for this store in my town, let us know, because that's also helpful as we decide on the next places that we want to focus our efforts on as well. So yeah, any likes on social media, any love we can get is really motivating.
I totally understand. Well, Carissa, we'll add the links to your website and your social media in the show notes for this podcast so our listeners can open up the app that they're listening in and click right there on their screen. And Carissa, thanks so much for taking the time to chat with me about kombucha today.
Yeah, thank you too. This is great.
And that's a wrap. Now it's time to take action. If you're feeling inspired, try making your own kombucha with the information you learned in today's episode. If making kombucha isn't for you, research local kombucha brewers to support instead. I'll be back next week with an episode about living a sustainable lifestyle in rural areas of the United States. Remember, knowledge is power, so if you learned something from today's episode, share it with someone you know who'd also benefit from this free resource. If you share the podcast on social media, don't forget to tag and follow us at Hippie Haven Shop, or my personal Instagram is at hippie.ceo. This podcast is produced with the help of my communications coordinator, Ray Lynn, who also helps produce our Hippie Haven YouTube channel. Subscribe to us on YouTube to see more behind the scenes at our zero waste company. You can also support our environmental advocacy work here at Hippie Haven by leaving a review for this podcast in whichever app you're using to listen, or buy us a virtual cup of coffee to keep us going. Visit buymeacoffee.com/hippiehaven to support our work. Thank you so much for spending this time with me, and I hope you have a great rest of your day.